Radio Prague News. The government has approved a plan for far-reaching tax and spending reforms. The Christian Democratic Party is still backing the embattled Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek. And the Constitutional Court has ruled that local town halls are fully entitled to ban prostitution in public places. The government has approved a plan for far-reaching tax and spending reforms. The plan was approved unanimously late Monday, with the government aiming to slash taxes and public spending and working to adopt the single European currency as early as 2012. Reforms are said to include the introduction of a flat 15% income tax rate, a series of public spending cuts, mainly affecting social security payments and the health sector, are expected to curb the government's overall budget. The reform plan will now have to be approved by the lower house of parliament. The two former Social Democrat MPs who changed the balance of power in the lower house and enabled the centre-right government to win a vote of confidence in January of this year say they have not been consulted about the reform package, despite the fact that their votes will be crucial for its approval in Parliament. Michal Pohanka said he was expecting to be contacted about it, since the governing coalition had promised to consult all significant government proposals with him in return for his vote of confidence. He said that the little he had learnt about the package from the press did not inspire him with confidence. The Christian Democratic Party leadership on Tuesday reiterated its backing for party leader and Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek, who is accused of corruption and is in trouble over recent offensive remarks made to a Czech tabloid newspaper. Last Friday, Mr. Čunek suggested that non-Roma wishing to earn state subsidies like the Roma needed to get a suntan and cause trouble in order to get politicians' attention. The comments were immediately denounced by the Prime Minister and other members of government. President Klaus said on Tuesday that they were completely unacceptable and appealed to politicians not to accept prejudices held in no small part by the Czech public. The Constitutional Court has ruled that local town halls are fully entitled to banning prostitution in public places. The legal dispute arose when several town halls issued regulations banning prostitution in all public places and pushing it to the outskirts of town. The Interior Ministry questioned their right to set such a norm. The court ruling will now help other towns that are plagued by the problem. Many mayors have called on Czech MPs to set clear rules as regards the oldest trade in the world. Although pimping is illegal in the Czech Republic, prostitution is not, and there have been calls for it to be legalized and brought under control, with taxes and regular medical checkups. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days are expected to be warm and sunny, with day temperatures between 10 and 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Rob Cameron. Coming up today, the centre-right government unveils its long-awaited tax reforms. But is it really a revolution or just smoke and mirrors? The Czech branch of Transparency International denies accusations of non-transparency. And the Czech Republic's Roma community get ready for this year's International Roma Day. Stay tuned for that and more. The government announced a new financial reform package on Monday evening, which it wants to put before Parliament. The proposed measures include the introduction of a flat tax of 15%, which is being hailed by supporters as a brave move aimed at ensuring that people can pay lower taxes while at the same time increasing government revenues. Is this the sort of step needed to reduce the Czech Republic's worrying public deficit? Or is it, as critics maintain, all just smoke and mirrors? Colin O'Connor has been finding out.
The government's proposed tax reforms include the introduction of a flat 15% income tax for Czech workers as of next January. The government argues that this will simplify the tax system and increase revenues. Critics say that the tax won't put much more money in people's pockets, because it will be applied to workers' gross wages before health and social insurance deductions are made. When these are subsequently taken out of the net wage, people won't be getting much more than they got before. Alongside the change in income tax, the basic VAT rate would almost double, from 5 to 9%, which would mean rises in the prices of food, medicines and public transport, among other things. Not much of a revolutionary reform, says Alish Michel, a financial analyst with Raiffeisen Bank.
I think that it is a pseudo-reform, because on one side there is a tax cut on the personal income tax, on the other side there is an enlargement of the tax base and increasing of the value-added tax. So overall, I think that there is nothing about tax cut. This reform is neither liberal reform, like in Slovakia, nor modern social reform, like in the United Kingdom.
One of the government's reasons for introducing the reforms is to increase revenues, so that it can reduce the country's budget deficit, which is in danger of not being under the 3% needed for euro adoption. Although some spending cuts, such as a reduction in the number of civil servants, are being proposed, the government is primarily trying to reduce the budget deficit by increasing revenues from taxation. Alish Michel, like many others, says the administration is going about things the wrong way, and that an opportunity is being lost to make serious reforms to the country's somewhat chaotic public finances at a time of relative economic prosperity.
Solving the budget deficit, you must focus on the expenditure side of the budget, not on the revenue side of the budget. So tax cuts are very popular, it's absolutely great, but it's not the solution for the budget deficit. So you must focus on the expenditures, or on the social benefits, pensions, healthcare, and something like that. For us, it's a great advantage that we have biggest economic growth in the history, and the revenues are growing absolutely well. And for us, it's a great time to focus on the expenditure sides, because the economy is growing. We are having the highest GDP growth in the history. So it costs us less money right now than in the bad times.
And that was analyst Alish Michel, ending that report by Colin O'Connor. Now, the Czech branch of the corruption watchdog Transparency International has found itself the subject of a police investigation. This week, the Prague-based journal Euro reported that the Czech branch had misappropriated millions of Czech crowns, an accusation the organisation denies. Jan Wellinger has the details.
For an organisation dedicated to fighting corruption in the public sector, allegations of wrongdoing can be particularly damaging, a situation which the Czech branch of Transparency International has now been forced to address. On Monday, representatives, including local branch head Adriana Krnáčová, rejected Transparency International had embezzled any funds. Responding to an ongoing investigation, it said that the case was politically motivated. Back in 2001, the Czech branch of TI, then a civic association, received a 30 million crown interest-free loan from Miloš Zeman's government to hold an anti-corruption conference. Only half of the amount, Euro writes, was ever paid back. But Transparency denied the accusation of embezzlement, and on Monday, branch head Adriana Krnáčová told commercial broadcaster TV Nova she saw no reason why, quote, certain people should be allowed to benefit from Transparency's name, presumably by dragging it through the mud. Mrs. Krnáčová was alluding to a small Prague-based civic association known as Citizens for Their Rights, related to a non-parliamentary political party that put forward the complaint. The party is headed by former Prague City Hall councillor Karel Berka, who spoke with TV Nova.
The loan was changed to a subsidy behind the government's back and without its approval.
The Czech branch of Transparency International has stated that it is cooperating fully with the investigation and has submitted all documents related to the case. Those are said to include a finance ministry statement approving accounting of the original funds. But even there, suspicions remain. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said on Monday that the paperwork on the subsidy had been handed in 14 months later than required by the law. Now it is a case to be investigated by police, with the Czech branch of TI stressing it has no intention of further commenting on the matter until it is fully resolved.
And thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report. Now, this Sunday, April the 8th, is International Roma Day, but events are being held around Prague throughout this week to commemorate the occasion. International Roma Day is a relatively new holiday. It was only established in 1990, but it is one of the few festivals shared by the Roma population the world over. Pavla Harakova reports.
Traditional music is perhaps the best-known feature of Roma culture, but organizers of this year's celebrations say they don't want Roma culture being stereotyped as just that. Still, concerts featuring traditional gypsy music will be an important part of the celebrations, together with panel discussions and film projections. There will also be opportunities to taste traditional Roma cuisine and a chance to watch a bowling and a football tournament. The events are organized by the Prague-based Romani students' organization Atinganoi. Zdeněk Horvát of the organization says why he thinks the majority population should be aware of International Roma Day.
Tak rozhodně si myslím, že jakýkoliv mezinárodní den má pro většinou...
I believe any international day has a meaning for society. And considering there are all kinds of international days, why not pay attention to a day dedicated to a nation so rich culturally and otherwise as the Roma?
At the moment, the Czech Roma community is concerned by recent offensive statements made by Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek regarding the Roma. Zdeněk Horvát says while his organization would much rather concentrate on the celebrations of International Roma Day, they cannot refrain from commenting on Mr. Čunek's statements.
Our organization is outraged by Mr. Čunek's statements about his fellow citizens, whose opinion he should take into consideration as minister and deputy prime minister. It is apparent that Mr. Čunek tried to strike a populist note and succeeded. That is a pity because I don't believe that the Czech nation is inherently xenophobic, as is often said. It looks like Mr. Čunek is trying to add fuel to a fire which had gone out long ago.
Zdeněk Horvát from Atinganoi, ending that report by Pavla Horáková. And if you're in Prague this week, watch out for those colourful celebrations. Moving on, and a new handbook commissioned by the Interior Ministry is currently being distributed to police stations around the country to help the force identify extremist organisations. The manual contains brief descriptions of symbols and introduces police officers to whether their use on clothes and posters and so on is legal. The ministry has printed 15,000 copies and, as Dieter Asiedu reports, already faces a lawsuit.
A black D and a black S in a red-toothed circle. That's the symbol of the Dělnická strana, or the Workers' Party. In the police manual on extremism, it is featured right next to that of an ultra-nationalist organization and under the symbol of the Ku Klux Klan. But the party insists that its logo has no place in a handbook on extremism and accuses the ministry of disseminating false information. The party's chairman Tomáš Vandas explains why.
Our legally registered party was put on par with organizations that are considered criminal. That's mainly because we have views that are not popular, that go against the current, so to speak. We reject the European Union, the European Constitution. We prefer a national state, a sovereign Czech Republic. We reject immigrants. We reject a multicultural society. We also reject homosexual partnerships that are put on par with traditional marriage. So that is why we think we've been ranked among the so-called extremists.
Miroslav Mareš is the author of the handbook.
For me, it's most important thing that the Workers' Party is in the regular report on extremism, and this is a report prepared by Ministry of Interior. However, one of the authors of this report is a security intelligence service. And this is the reason why I gave the symbol of this party into this manual. However, this is not a list of prohibited symbols. It's very important. The meaning of this manual is to learn the police the orientation within the extremist scene. So this is important.
You say that we're witnessing a transformation from a more primitive neo-Nazism to a more sophisticated form.
Primitive neo-Nazism is the direct support of historical Nazism, only some primitive violent actions against Roma. Our more sophisticated neo-Nazism is the transformation of the movement to the new organizing structure. Yeah, and this is the reason why I'm informed in this manual about the new development of symbolic. This is not only a manual about the traditional historical symbols of Nazism, this is also the manual about the new symbolic of the so-called autonomous nationalism, which is the new concept of neo-Nazism with roots in Germany.
Experts on extremism say the Workers' Party is an organized movement that has close ties with neo-Nazis. Its logo is also similar to that of Germany's Labour Front and the Hammerskins Nation organization. Whether the Workers' Party's symbol has been rightfully included in the manual on extremism will have to be decided in court. The party has filed a criminal complaint against the Interior Ministry and is demanding both an apology and its removal from the manual.
You're tuned to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up next, we look at what the huge success of multiplex cinemas means for the future of film going in the Czech Republic. That's in Talking Point with Ian Willoughby.
Já jsem vítací typ. To je chlap, který se svou ženou rád vítá. Ovšem, aby mohlo být vítání, musí být napřed loučení.
A trailer for the film Refundable Bottles by Jan Spierak, which recently set a Czech record when it was watched by 107,000 people in its opening weekend. Most, if not all of those viewers, would have seen the film at a multiplex cinema. Figures just out show that multiplexes now have 75% of the cinema's market, up from 40% in 2002. What does that mean for the present and future of cinema in the Czech Republic?
I think that we are not exceptional anymore. I think that we can see that admissions in multiplex admissions have a growing tendency, definitely. So we are just becoming regular part of the Western Europe. There is nothing special now. I could even add that, for example, in terms of technology, we are on the top of among European countries because all multiplexes have been built recently, within last 4 or 5 years maximum.
Says Tomasz Policzka, General Director of Village Cinemas, which runs 2 multiplexes in Prague. In actual fact, the first multiplex opened here 8 years ago in 1999. At the end of 2006, there were 19. Of course, many are in shopping centres, which have also enjoyed a huge boom in recent years. Tomasz Baldinski is a film critic and the chairman of the board of the State Fund for the support and development of Czech cinematography.
It's like everywhere in the world. So you give people not only a chance to go to the cinema, but have a lot of other things to do as well. They can spend the whole afternoon in the complex, and they can have the cinema just as the final stage of their visit. Or they can put kids in the cinema and have spare time to buy perfumes and stuff like that. So it means here we are a society which is getting richer, so we don't have to judge that much if the cinema ticket is 160 crowns or 80. And we just go through that phase of supermarkets and multiplexes and of this condensed leisure time spending. So this was to be expected, yes.
But Tomasz Baldinski also believes there are certain risks associated with multiplexes acquiring such a large share of the market.
The first danger is the threat to the cinemas in the region. If they collapse and won't work, we reduce the cinema experience only to people who are able to travel to get some entertainment. So you are losing some part of community culture. The second big threat is to the film import. If you have this amount of money being made in that few spots, those multiplexes are very strong and they can demand what they want to be screened. So there will be only just one kind of movies. And there is other threat is that big Czech distributors are directly or indirectly connected to the cinema chains or multiplexes chains. So there is a threat too because of, for example, when you're a smaller cinema, you have twice as difficult approach to the new film because of A, you don't make that much money, so they prefer multiplex. And second, even if you made as much money as multiplex, you're not part of the multiplex, you're not their business interest, so they just skip you and give the film to the multiplex, so your viewers are going to the multiplex to see the movie.
Village Cinema's Tomasz Palicka admits multiplexes do have exclusive access to new movies. But he counters that even they can't always get prints of the films they want. And he says Czech viewers have simply voted with their wallets.
We need to return to the early 90s, and we all remember how we stand in the queues and in the single-screen cinemas, what is the quality of the projection, what is the quality of the chairs, what is the quality of the personnel even. On the beginning of all those changes, we must ask our customers why they are coming to the cinema, to the multiplex as the first place of choice for them.
The success of multiplexes in the Czech Republic has increased overall cinema attendance. In 1999, only 8.4 million cinema tickets were sold, a record low. Last year, 11.5 million tickets were sold. That is the good news. The bad news is the perhaps inevitable closure of independent single-screen cinemas around the country. Ivo Anderle manages Prague's Iro and Svetozor art house cinemas.
I think most of the smaller cinemas that are closing, there is two different types to this. It's either smaller town where the multiplex opened recently and the cinemas, other cinemas decided to close. For example, Pardubice right now, the latest multiplex opened, and out of the three or four existing single screen cinemas, three of them are closed. There is only one left as a direct reaction to the opening of the multiplex. In other cases where the multiplex did not open in the concrete city, but the small cinema still closed, it's either because multiplex opened nearby and people start traveling to see films to the multiplex, they stop coming to the local cinema, or most of the cases, or I don't know if most of the cases, but some of the cases, it's just decision by the people that run the cinema, which is mostly municipals that have been supporting financially the cinema. And they basically decided it became too expensive for them to hold on and still keep their small cinema for the small town, because without city support, I doubt there is a single cinema that would exist in a small city without city hall support.
Tomasz Baldinski says local authorities won't be able to afford the technology needed for new digital cinema when it comes to the Czech Republic. But he hopes a fresh bill on cinematography will help.
On Wednesday was the first parliament session about the bill. And there is a lot in that bill about the modernization of the cinemas, smaller cinemas. If the state doesn't moderate the digitalization of the cinemas, it will die out. And this is our last chance to get the process going, because of in 10 years from now there won't be any prints on celluloid.
Getting back to the present, do independent cinemas have a future now that multiplexes make up 75% of the market? Art house manager Ivo Anderle says they can survive with the right support and the right approach.
If the state and the municipal will decide that this is something important, that this is something, that this is part of the culture that shall be preserved or support it at least, and given some system to it, then the single screen cinemas do have a chance, especially if they do have a good luck for management with good skills and lots of effort given through heart most of the time, because you cannot do it through your wallet, to the fact that the small cinema can be something different than a multiplex and bring lots of attractive things actually towards the audiences with different, I would say, human touch compared to the multiplexes.
cinema manager Ivo Anderle, ending that edition of Talking Point by Ian Willoughby on the effect of multiplexes on the Czech cinema scene. And that brings us to the end of today's programme. Tune in again tomorrow or visit our website www.radio.cz, where you can find all those stories you've heard today, both in sound and in text. If you feel strongly about something you've heard, do please let us know. The address is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Those are also the addresses, of course, for your reception reports. That's all for today. So from me, Rob Cameron, and everyone here at Radio Prague, goodbye.